good evening. Yes, we are live. Theater in You. Welcome and Happy New Year. Yes, Happy New Year. This is the first show of 2017 of Leader in You, and we are so excited that all of you are joining us for our first episode in 2017. Tonight, yes, I know you saw it online. You saw it all posted on our social media pages. Tonight, we are discussing the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. I am Catherine Trotter, your host. I am so excited about 2017 with our show, all the things that we're going to be able to discuss, collab on, and just really dive into what Leader in You is all about. And, yes, we also have our returning co-host, Ms. Joy Ford. Thank you so much for returning in 2017. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, and I'm so glad that we're back on again for 2017. The Leader in You.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And tonight we also have a special guest, a leader. He's a phenomenal individual, Mr. Dickens. Thank you so much for joining our show on tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome, awesome. We are going to get right into the interview. But ladies and gentlemen that are listening to our show, whether it be online or via calling into the show, we thank you for being a committed listener to our show, Leader in You, from 2016 all the way here into 2017. And also thank you to those that listen to our replay line that you may not have been able to listen to it live, that you hit that replay line and you join a part of the conversation. So we thank you. Once again, this is Catherine Trotter, your host. For anybody who would like to learn more about my consulting business, you can check out my website at catherinetrotter.com. One of the things that I do want to make a quick announcement about, on February 4th, we will be having a business boot camp, and it will be in the White Marsh, Maryland area. If you go to my website, catherinetrotter.com, you will get more information about that. Well, let's jump right into the topic of tonight, the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. We know this show is all about leadership and tips and tools, so that way we can refine ourselves as we grow into 2017. Now, many of you may have heard of the book, The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership by John C. Maxwell. And many of you may know of several of his quotes. I'm personally am a fan of his quotes as well as his books. One of the quotes that I want to kick off tonight's show says, "A great leader's courage to fulfill his vision comes from passion, not position." I'm going to read that again. It says, "A great leader's courage to fulfill his vision comes from passion, not position." And I think this is a good way to segue to bring in Mr. Dickens. Please let the audience know who you are, your professional background, what you're currently doing in the community, in any way in which they can get in contact with you. And we want to start this conversation off actually with this quote about passion versus position and what actually qualifies someone to be a leader in 2017. So, Mr. Dickens, please introduce yourself.
Good evening. My name is Gillette Dickens. I was born and raised in East Baltimore. Been in Baltimore all of my life. And I was raised by my grandparents. And, you know, if anybody knows how grandparents raise their kids, I was raised in a strict home. I was raised in a home that was founded on service to others. So I guess that's where I really got my feet wet in becoming a servant to my community. I've looked back at some of the neighborhoods that I've lived in and gone back into those neighborhoods and tried to make a difference. And right now we're working on a program which is built around our African Griot Reading Circle, which we have every summer at Dredhill Park. And it's an agricultural program where we want to bring the children in to teach the kids how to plant, how to prepare, and how to grow their own food. We even want to take it a step further where we want to offer the kids a quiet, safe place to come out and just be children again. So we're even offering things like yoga, meditation, and Tai Chi for the children. We feel that the kids nowadays don't get out and play in the dirt and in the grass too much anymore. So we want to get back to that. And just to elaborate on your passion statement a bit, that's what I'm really and totally driven by. I'm not really a TV or radio personality or even an activist, as some people want to call. I'm driven by a need to help people and to serve people. And if I can do that in any way possible, whether it's on a large scale or a small scale, I'm willing to do so. So I truly believe that if you're driven by money, this is not the field for you. If you're driven by accolades and recognition, this is not the field for you, because there have been many a times where I've said, I've had enough, I'm tired, I don't want to do this anymore. And then something comes along that fuels my passion, and it starts all over again, and I start from scratch.
Absolutely. I think you said a mouthful. I think you really hit the nail on the head with that. You know, passion has to be the ultimate thing that leads any leader, because if it is the position, if it is the title, if it is the status quo, if it is the accolades that is leading the leader, oftentimes the passion will be void, because it's not about
Definitely.
Passion at that point. It's not about the people, you know. Joy, what would you like to add to that part? Because I know he tapped into about the children, and I know you're very passionate about children as well.
Yes, absolutely. And I definitely love what he said about, you know, being driven by your passion to do something that you're involved in, especially if you're going to take a leadership position, that it's really important that each day when you get up to do what you do, that you really feel a sense of something deep inside you driving you to be part of what it is you are doing, especially when it
mm-hmm.
involves children, because when they see your enthusiasm, and it's going to shine bright for you if that's where you're coming from with it. And that's what
mm-hmm.
motivates our children to do what they do with us.
Mm-hmm. They just need to see that you care.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they need to know that we care, and they can sense somebody who really does care, and they can sense
mm-hmm.
that individual who is just there to get the dollar. And so it's very
yep.
important for you when you start something, especially when you're in front of children, to be that person who, you know, intrinsically has that motivation, because that's something that you feel deeply about being involved in and seeing that it evolves into something greater than yourself. So I think what you said is key to, you know, being a leader.
Absolutely. There are two other quotes that come to mind by John C. Maxwell. It says, leadership is not about titles, positions, or flowcharts. It is about one life influencing another. He further went on to say, if you wouldn't follow yourself, why should anyone else?
Mm.
And, you know, Dickens, Mr. Dickens, what would you like to add to that?
That's so, so important. You know, I self-reflect on a regular basis because, as I said, I've come into some situations where it's called me to question whether I really want to do this today or whether I really want to continue in doing this. And as I said before, invariably I'll get a phone call where there's somebody in need, and I'll jump right back at it. It can be 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm waking people up trying to get some services for these people. But I really believe that if it's not, excuse me, if it's not built in you and not grown in you, that being of service to other people is a wasted effort, because there's sometimes where I suffer because of my desire to want to help other people. And my best friend chews me out all the time about that. She says that you'll help people at your own expense. And to me, that's what a real servant is. I see a need, and if I can fulfill that need, I'll do it, regardless of whatever the consequences are, as long as I made an impression on somebody's life that day.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think it's something that you talked about something being born in you. And I remember taking a class at Morgan State University many, many years ago, and it was a topic or a discussion that came up of, is leadership innate? Or can you just be kind of groomed into it? And I really am of the one that I believe it's innate. I believe you are born with certain abilities. Not saying that people can't grow or learn or evolve. However,
mm-hmm.
I do believe there's this special mark on a leader that really sets them apart from the pack of individuals. Because to lead a person, to lead a group of people, to lead anything, whatever type of business that you're leading, for all those that are listening to the show, and we want to say, again, thank you for dialing in. Thank you for chiming in online. Tonight, for those that have just joined us, we are discussing the topic of the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. We've kicked off this conversation actually going over some quotes by John C. Maxwell, and we're about to enter into some of his actual laws dealing with the law of influence, and I think that's the perfect one to start with because we're right now we're talking about influence. We're talking about, you know, that ability that one has to be able to encourage, to inspire, to motivate another group of people, a body of people, an individual, whether it's children, maybe you run a youth program, or have you, maybe you have your own business, maybe it's a for-profit company, maybe it's not a nonprofit entity. Whatever you are in charge of, there is people around you that you have to do what? You have to influence. But one of the major things that we were just dialoguing about, for those that's just joining, a lot of times people adopt the philosophy of their title and their position automatically assumes respect. And I think that's something to discuss on tonight because I think that's a misconception that just because someone has a title, they automatically assume the mass of people is just going to respect me because of my title. Mr. Jenkins or Joy, what are your comments about that?
Well, I think that definitely – go ahead. You go ahead.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
I was saying, to piggyback on what Catherine was just saying, yeah, teaching our children strong self-esteem, you know, because I don't think you're necessarily born with it, but you do need to become more empowered. We need to be able to help people have more opportunities to find out who they are and what their true purpose is, because often I find with young people, they don't really know what their purpose is, and so we need to give them more experiences, more chances to be involved in different things that are going on in our community, and that's where we play a role, you know, coming in to facilitate that happening, and I think that's what you're doing in the community, which is so important, you know.
One of the things that really drives me is I've had a saying a long time ago about kids being a sponge. It's wonderful to see the reaction of kids when you teach them something new or give them a different choice than they're used to. The reaction is worth all of the money and accolades on the face of this earth. You know, teaching a kid something new or giving them different choices, and I think that's really paramount, right, in the days and times that we're in now, that we give kids choices to let them know that there are multiple avenues that they can go down and that they don't necessarily have to succumb to the stereotypes that TV and radio and their peers have given them, and that they do have multiple choices and multiple avenues to explore. And that's one of the things that I would really like to impress upon the children, is that they do have choices and that they are the direct result of their choices. So there are some circumstances to whatever it is that they choose to do. So they need to be mindful and wary of those circumstances. So choose wisely. I agree totally.
Ms. Dickens, let me ask you a question. As a leader in the community, what would you say some challenges or hurdles you had to face that you can encourage another leader that's listening to this show?
Not to give up. I think that's one of the biggest problems that we face at any service-oriented business that you might undertake. It gets rough sometimes being a servant in the community. As I said before, there were times where I said, I'm not going to do this today. I'm tired. To heck with it. I'm going to switch. I'm going to go into a different field. I'm going to do something different. And invariably that little twinge of passion comes back, and I start all over again. But I just want to encourage people not to give up, because there's somebody out there that's waiting for you to do what God has called you to do. And that's what fuels me more than anything, that I know that there are people out there who are counting on me to do what I was told to do.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that's so powerful. It was because a lot of times we will hit those bumps in the road. We will hit those moments in life that it will be turbulent, and it is quite frankly, it's going to be challenging. But one of the things that I think you said very clearly tonight is that you just can't give up, that you have to continue to persevere. You have to continue to push forward no matter what. And that's one of the chants that I even say to myself, push forward no matter what. I remember I was at a women's brunch. It was a couple years ago, and I was speaking, and that's one of the things that I left with the women saying in a repetitive way, I'm not going to give up, but I'm going to move forward no matter what, because a lot of times those challenges are going to hit you, and it's going to hit you like a ton of bricks. But one of the things in the book, The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, it talks about the law of the lid. That's the first law in the book. The leadership ability determines a person's level of effectiveness. And that's why personal growth and personal development is so important. Us as leaders, we can never stop reading. We can never stop growing. We can never stop growing our mind, because there's always going to be someone that's going to be watching us, that's going to be learning from us. The law of the lid, I think, is one of the most crucial laws in the book, because it talks about how leaders, we must continue to grow. If we don't continue to grow, that is really going to cap off the individuals that's following us to the level in which they can go, because if they're following us and we're not growing, there's but so much we can continue to give out. Law number two says the law of influence. The true measure of leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. True leadership cannot be awarded, appointed, or assigned. It comes only from influence, and that cannot mandate it. Law number three is the law of the process, and I wanted to kind of have a discussion about this because I think a lot of times us as leaders, as we're going through the process, the law of the process, it's really self-explanatory. We have to go through the process. Leaderships develop daily, not in a day. And a lot of times, you know, I know with me, with my consulting business, I may get a client and they may say, you know, I want to develop my organization. I want to do this in this certain amount of record time. I want to, you know, make all this happen. And I ultimately have to calm them down to say, let's take this in stages. Let's look at what you're trying to do in incremental phases, that you can not only see the growth, but you can also build the foundation. So let's talk about the law of the process. When you, Mr. Dickens, when you was first starting your program, share with the listening audience, and by the way, also I want to say thanks again for those that have joined us. You are tuned into the first edition of Leader in You in 2017, and we are so excited for all of those that have dialed in, for those that have joined us online. We appreciate all of you for sticking with us last year and joining us into 2017. You are joined by my co-host, Ms. Joy Ford, as well as our guest on tonight, Mr. Dickens. So, Mr. Dickens, when we're talking about the process, the law of the process, take us through the process you went through when you first started your organization.
Wow. I don't think we've got enough time for that. But one of the things that I try to, and I do some individual mentoring. I really don't have the time to mentor the way that I really would like to because of some other endeavors. But one of the things that I tell the youngsters when I speak to them is to have patience. I think one of the biggest attributes that a teenager could have that most of them don't have is patience. They want everything now. They want it today. They want it. They don't want to wait. They don't want to earn it. They want to give it to them. They want it now. And one of the things that I tell them is just to be patient, because things will unfold as they should. And if you've done the proper legwork ahead of time, you can sit back and relax because you've known that you've done A, B, C, D, all the way through to Z, and you can trust the process. And that's one of the hardest things to get people to do, is to trust the process, because, again, we're in such a instant society that we don't want to wait. We want to do it now. And for me, that was a big obstacle to overcome because I was very impatient. I knew what ideas I had. I knew where I wanted to go. And subsequently, I just need to interject that all of those ideas and thoughts have changed. So that's, again, one of the things I try to speak to people about is to have faith and patience. Those are the two biggest, hugest assets that you could have in doing things for other people or being of service. is patience and to know that the process will unfold if you've done your homework. And that's one of the biggest things that I try to instill in people.
Wow, I think you said something so powerful. Everything you said, the golden nugget that I took away was trust the process. And I think that's so significant because a lot of times we will rush the process because we feel that we have to compete with another leader. We feel we have to compete with another business owner. We have to compete with someone that's been in the game for 10 years and we just started, and we feel that we have to rush the process. But I think what you just said, that in trusting and having faith and being okay with where you are, I think that's one of the things I ultimately learned, is to be okay with being in the present moment. And, Joy, you know, you can speak to that as well, but what you feel for yourself, because you're a business owner, you have a couple different businesses that you're operating, and you understand about the process. Joy, share a little bit about your thoughts about the process. Must have a little technical difficulty. It's okay. I'm back. One of the things that I think is so important when we're talking about the process is the fact that we have to allow ourselves to go through the phase. Each phase of the process, because when you're developing and you're building a business model, it's phases, it's steps to that process. And a lot of times if we try to go to step number 5 and we haven't even completed step number 2, well, we're not ready. Just like if you were microwaving something in the microwave or you were putting something in the oven. Let's say, you know, we know we just came out of the holidays, and yes, I cooked the turkey and it came out fine, but let's say I only cooked that turkey for 3 hours. Now, we all know it takes longer than for a turkey to cook in 3 hours. Let's say I took that turkey out after 3 hours. Well, we know it's not ready. It's not done. And a lot of times that's the same way I do a lot of analogies with food. Oh, Joy, hey, you're back. Great. One of the things that I wanted to get your take on the process. I know you have several different businesses. What is your take on the process?
Well, I definitely think you need to get together, and if it's just you, that's fine as well, but we need to write the vision and make it plain. We definitely need to have a plan. And the problem is sometimes people think they only need a plan for their business, but you need a plan for every area of life that you are planning to be successful in. Because if you don't have it written down what the plan is, because there are going to be options of good things you can do, and there's going to be some options of some things that may come as obstacles in your way. But if you have it written down, then you know the path in which you're trying to take to get where you want to go. So you need a clear map to your destination. And I always teach my children in a classroom is that, piggybacking on what Mr. Dickens said, that they have choices in life, but your choices ultimately are going to determine your destination. So therefore, you definitely need to establish a plan. And we need to teach everyone how to write a plan. And as I said, not just for your business plan, because that's usually what we associate things with when you're doing a business plan, but we need a plan for every area in our lives so we can get where we want to go. Because if you don't have that plan, then, and you're in business, then you're probably planning for poverty. So
that's Joy, you're bringing it strong. You're bringing it strong tonight, Joy. I love it. I think
that's key, to have that written down plan and, you know, check off. Have those measurable goals and check it off as you go through it. And, you know, don't detour, because you do have a plan to get somewhere. You know, set that sail and stay on course and stay the course. Like you said, you have to have patience, Mr. Dickens. So the children have to learn to stay the course, and in staying the course, they're going to learn patience.
My father had a saying he told me a long time ago. He said that you never drive a car without a spare. When I was younger and he said that to me, of course, I just used the analogy as in driving. But as I got older, I applied it to almost every area in my life, and especially in business, because now if I delegate a task or a duty to someone, you better believe that I've already figured out 5 or 6 ways to get it done myself, you know?
Yeah.
And that's been one of the biggest attributes that I could have, is in people telling me no, because if they didn't tell me no, I wouldn't have figured out how to do it on my own. So be consistent, trust the process, and have faith in the process, and it's guaranteed.
Yeah.
Wow.
I agree.
I tell you, it's ladies and gentlemen that are just joining the show, you are joining a a power-packed show, and tonight we are discussing Leader in You, particularly the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. You were just hearing the voice of Joy Ford, our co-host, as well as you were hearing our guest leader on tonight, Mr. Dickens, and I am Catherine Trotter, your host, and I'm so flat out excited to be with you here in 2017, as this is the first show of the year. We've been covering several topics, and Joy, one of the things that I really took from what you were just sharing is that you really have to have a balanced life. Us as leaders and in business, we have to have a balance in every area of our life, particularly here in 2017, as we have great visions and desires to do many things, but having that balance is going to have an impact even in how we facilitate our own programs and how we manage our programs, because if we are so jaded in our personal life, we don't have a balance, it is going to have an impact in how we manage our companies. It's going to have an impact in how we lead the team that is around us, and I think that is so profound. One of the things that the book also talks about, Law number 10 says it is the law of connection. And I think this is so important as we are leading any body of people, whether it's a for-profit or a nonprofit entity, whether you are a community leader. It says leaders touch a heart before they ask for a hand. For leaders to be effective, they need to connect with people. All great leaders recognize this truth and act on it almost instantly. You can't move people to action unless you first move them with emotion. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I know that is a tagline that many of us have heard time and time again. I know sure. I have. And one of the things, yeah, absolutely, one of the things that I think is important as we enter into 2017, whatever we're leading in any kind of capacity, we have to make sure that there's a connection with our target audience. Connection, if we're saying we have a for-profit company and we have a staff, I don't care if it's a staff of three people. Well, those three people you are committed to, those are three people that are looking to you for leadership. Whether you are serving in the community, let's say you might be a community organizer, and it is your job to impact that community, whether it's 100 people, 200 people, however many people you are commissioned to lead. Have you made a true connection? One of the things mm-hmm. that we talked about as we closed out 2016, we talked about at the end of the year to do a review of what? A review of ourselves, because a lot of times we can't cast the blame on anyone in our organization or anyone in our business if something is not going right. As a leader, that's not what we do. As leaders, we look at ourselves first. And as a leader, when we look at ourselves first, we have to do a check and balance within ourselves. Have I been able to convey the mission, convey the purpose, convey the heartbeat of what we're trying to do? A lot of times we as leaders, we will think of so many things in a very fast pace in our mind, but have we been able to convey that to the individuals that we're serving, to the individuals that is in our circle? Mr. Dickens, what would you like to say about the law of connection?
I think that might be one of the most important laws, because I've been blessed with the ability to network with people. I don't know where it came from. I don't know how I got to possess it, but I have a resource network that borders on insane, and it's just because I've done some homework and reached out to certain people who possibly can help me in my endeavors, or I can help them in theirs. And one of the things I was always taught in the business world is to go to your competitors and see what problems they have in doing what they're doing. So that way it gives you a leg up. So even in doing that sort of networking, I've come to gather tons of information and tons of resources just by reaching out to people. And also the part about being able to convey the message, totally important. It's paramount in being able to reach people, because if you can't convey your thoughts and ideas and where you want to go and how you want to get there, you can't really expect anybody to reach out and help you if you can't get those ideas and thoughts over to them. So that's a very intangible asset to have, is the ability to reach people. And one of the other things that you said that I do on a regular basis, I check my stuff every day. You know, before I go to bed at night, before I roll over and pull the covers up, I replay my tape to see if there's something that I could have done differently throughout the day to help somebody in a bigger way or in a different way. And one of the things I've come up with is that regardless of what level of service I've been able to give to these people, that it's enough if I made an impact on them. And I can rest easily at night knowing that I've made an impact on somebody's life.
Absolutely, and I appreciate what you just said, and I think that really, it even brings us to the next law in the book of the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. For those that have just joined us on tonight, we thank you. We appreciate you. This is the first episode of 2017. I'm Catherine Trotter, your host. The gentleman that you were just listening to is Mr. Dickens. He is one of our guest leaders on tonight, and we do also have Ms. Joy Ford, our co-host. Tonight, we are talking about the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. It is a book written by John C. Maxwell, if you haven't heard of him. He is a leader guru. Definitely Google him, check him out. We've been talking about several different the laws in the book. We are not going to go over all of them, but we're just kind of picking out some important ones. And this next one I think is very important. It is the law of the inner circle. A leader's potential is determined by those closest to him. Nobody does anything great alone, nor do leaders succeed alone. What makes the difference is the leader's inner circle. As you consider whether individuals should be in your inner circle, the couple things you want to ask yourself, do they have influence? As also, you know, because if we're saying we're going to be an influence, we need to have other people in our circle that has the ability to influence others. What are they bringing to the table? A lot of times we are circle around individuals that are just takers, but they're not contributing anything. What kind of strategic plan do they even have for their own business model? A lot of times people just want to connect to what you're doing, but, you know, they're not really doing anything in their part of the vineyard. And a lot of times we can't always be so ready just to, you know, connect with everybody. We have to get to a place in our life that we have strategic partners that make sense, that contribute. We contribute to them. They contribute to us. And I can speak on this very passionately because I've gone through seasons of my business where it was not always that way, where it was lopsided, and that taught me a lot of things. And that's why I say when you're growing in business and you're growing your business model, do not skip the steps. I don't regret any steps I've made in any of my business phases of my life because it taught me. It taught me where I need to go even in 2017. It taught me how to look and talk to an individual and know what is needed for my business at this particular time. You mm-hmm. do not have to have everyone in your inner circle. If you have two quality people in your inner circle and it makes sense and you're able to do business together and you're able to see the fruit of it, because, again, that's important. A lot of times people just meet to meet. How many times in 2016 did you gather with people? You can just think to yourself, the whole that have dialed into the show, how many people have met with people, you had a good time, you might have even broke bread and ate food, but you walked away. Was it any action steps? Was it anything that you know, hey, next week this is the next thing we're going to do? Or was it just a good fellowship? You know, did we just come together and have a good time? This year in 2017, mm-hmm. we really need to examine the law of our inner circle. Who is in our inner circle? Now, keep in mind, I'm not saying get rid of all of your family and friends and things of that nature. That's not what I'm saying. But when it comes down to your business model, you need to be very specific about who should be in that circle. Also, you need to be mm-hmm. very, very mindful of who is in your inner ear. I'm just adding that when the inner circle, I'm also talking about the inner ear. Who are you communicating with on a daily basis? Because a lot of times we let the wrong people in our ear every day. The individuals mm-hmm. that are always gruesome, the people that are always in mourning, the people that are always sad and upset about something. In 2017, we need to draw the line and cut back. We really do. It's not saying that we're not concerned about the individuals, but we have to be in a posture with our mindset that we are in go mode. We are ready. We cannot be in go mode or in ready mode if we allow our ear to be infiltrated with a bunch of junk. And, you know, I'm just going to pause right here because this one is I'm very passionate about, so I can talk a mile a minute about this one, but I want to pause because I want Joy and Mr. Dickens to kind of chime in. When you think about the law of the inner circle, how has that impacted your individual businesses, and what is your take on that law?
I can touch on that, and that's been one of my greatest obstacles to overcome. I'm a trusting person, so I let people in, and one of the things I've learned from letting people in, so to speak, is that if you're open and honest with people from the beginning, that their intentions and their motives will come to the forefront almost immediately. So what I do when I meet people now, when I start networking with people, is I let them know how I think and what I feel and what my feelings are about certain subjects. So they know who they're dealing with, they know where I'm coming from, and they know what to expect. Subsequently, some people have fallen by the wayside, which is okay. We're still friends, but we just can't do business together. And that's a line in the sand that you have to draw. Some people are there just for your emotional support, and some people are there to help you with your business, and you have to draw a line in the sand where, you know, if you don't cross this line or you do cross this line, there's some consequences to that. And I've had to choose people very, very selectively, and moreover, I've let them pretty much erase themselves. I believe in giving people enough rope to hang themselves. So, you know, I'll put up with the distractions for a short period of time until your motives and your intent become crystal clear to me, and then I have to move on and cut you loose. And I have no problem with doing either.
Wow. All right. Joy, what are your thoughts?
That's a excellent question. I can tell you, look, my inner circle, I thought was with my business, the Joyrific Band, which is a children's song group. You know, the inner circle started out really small, but, you know, I have been adding each year more and more people to that inner circle. But the one thing I do try to do now is make sure that the people that I'm working with, you know, they are coming with great credentials. You know, I've seen some of their work. I just don't say, okay, you can do this next video for me, or mm-hmm. you can produce my CD. You know, you got to really be careful who you let in that circle, but the circle, as you become more imaginative in business, it tends to really widen a lot. So, you know, I think that your inner circle, you know, make sure it's growing in the right way when it comes to the people mm-hmm. that you're trying to deal with to get a product or something done, because that's going to be, you know, integral to your success. So I never thought it was going to be so many people that I'm involved with, but it's a lot of people I deal with on a daily basis. So, you know, I just think that that's really key, that inner circle, what you were talking about, Catherine.
Absolutely. And then the other thing that I think is key is another law in the book is the law of the buy-in. And this one, as we get ready to come down to the close of our show on this evening, once again, we thank all of those that have dialed in, those that have joined us online, and those that will listen to the repeat line. We thank you. Again, this is Catherine Trotter, your host. You just heard the voice of Joy Ford, our co-host, and Mr. Dickens is one of our guest leaders on tonight. The last law that we're going to talk about tonight is the law of the buy-in. And it says, people buy into the leader, then the vision. The leader finds the dream, then the people. The people find the leader, and then the dream. That's how the law of the buy-in works. People don't at first follow worthy causes. They follow worthy leaders who promote worthy causes they can believe in. People buy into the leader first, then the leader's vision. One of the things I remember early on when I was starting my nonprofit organization, and I was putting together some of my social media pages and so forth, and it was a PR lady that had said to me, you have your logo on there. You don't have your picture. You don't have any, you know, no one knows who the founder is. I said, well, I mean, that's the logo. I didn't get it at first. People wanted to know who the founder was. As soon as I shifted mm-hmm. everything and I started putting my personal picture up, people then what connected with who I was. About the law of connection a few minutes ago. People want to connect with a person, not a logo, not stationery, not, you know, a website. You know, all of these things we need our marketing materials. Don't get me wrong, we need that. However, at the end of the day, a person wants to be able to touch and feel who is the leader. What makes that leader tick? Who are they? You know, how did they get their start? And I think a lot of times, you know, when you have that personal connection, even with your inner circle, but also individuals that are going to be following and buying into you, to whatever your program might be. I work with youth as well. I have a nonprofit organization, but then I also have a coaching business. My website is KatherineTrotter.com, where I coach in other leaders as well as work with other startup organizations to get their organizations off the ground. So one of the things that's always important to me when I start off with any new client is to give them a preview of what I went through when I first started with my organization so that they will understand not only do I have the book knowledge, but I also have the applied knowledge, the hands-on experience within the community. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what a lot of people want to know. You know, beyond the degree, beyond the education, have you experienced, can you touch and feel and intimately understand what I'm going through? And so a lot of times people will find themselves, whether your business is a for-profit or nonprofit, it doesn't matter. In both of the arenas, there's someone that's going to be following you. And whoever they may be, they want to be able to connect with you. If you want that person to buy into your mission, your vision, whatever your program is, you need to connect with them. They need to buy into who you are. Are you a person of character? Are you a person of integrity? Don't expect anyone to follow anyone in 2017 if you lack those mm-hmm. basic things. And a lot of times, individuals will be so careless with their personal life, yet they think their business life is going to, you know, be a five-star business, but their personal life is less than not even a whole star. It doesn't work that way. When we say that we are a leader and we're in business, the person that they're going to look at first is you. Your marketing material can be the best ever. You could have retained the best company to do your website. It doesn't matter. But at the end of the day, when they sit down and talk to you, what of quality will come out of your mouth? At the end of the day, we as leaders, we always have to have a word in our mouth that we can share to someone else that can inspire, that can motivate someone to action. That's what a leader does. We inspire people to action. Action to what? Whatever your mission might be, inspiring them to that mind. As Joy and Mr. Dickens, we all work with youth. So we have that shared common goal, obviously, to inspire youth. Youth inspire other youth to do what? To make change within their community. And so for all of you that are listening to the show, you maybe you don't work with youth. Maybe you work with the elderly population, right? Maybe you work with those that are domestic survivors, you know, of abuse, whatever that might be. Maybe you have a for-profit business and you have maybe a staff of 10 people and you can't figure out why your staff just isn't listening to you. Like, you're giving instructions, but there you feel that there's obviously everyone's not rowing in the boat the same direction. Everyone's kind of doing mm-hmm. their own thing. One of the mm-hmm. things that we have to keep in mind is, okay, first, let me check myself as a leader. Am I, one, communicating the vision properly and clearly? A lot of times we think we are, but we're not. I know I can admit, it's been times in my 14, well, this year makes the 15th year of me being in business that I thought I was communicating properly, but however, I wasn't. And the thing is, as a leader, you have to be okay with taking constructive criticism. A lot of times leaders mm-hmm. can't do that because they are so puffed up within themselves. And, hello, newsflash 2017, if you're expecting the people to row in the boat in the direction you want them to row into, then you're going to have to deflate that big head, and we are going to have to come down to earth and be a person. Be a regular mm-hmm. person and allow them to see that about you. However, still allow them to see your character, your integrity, as well as that you have forward vision. What do I mean by that? No one wants to follow anyone that is going to be stagnant, right? We're always in the same place every single year. We're always talking about what we want to do, but we never mm-hmm. do it. Mm-hmm. Anybody's ever been in a situation like that or been in a team or organization, and it's like this person is always saying we're going to be doing something new, and they say it, but it never happens. Now, no one wants to follow mm-hmm. anyone like that. Now, one of the things that mm-hmm. I would often suggest is never bite off more than you can chew. Don't put out there that you're going to do all these wonderful things and you know you don't have the ability to do it. It just doesn't make mm-hmm. sense. Now, if you spread it out over a 5-year or a 10-year period and cast the vision in that perspective, then that's great. But don't try to, you know, do too much in 1 year. Let it make sense. Let it be reasonable and operate. And this is the number one word I'm using for myself this year of 2017, operate in wisdom. operating wisdom. In the last couple minutes, I want to open up the show again to Mr. Dickens. Please let people know how they can get in contact with you. Please, for those that have just joined the show, let them know, you know, the organization that you run, what state, Maryland, what part of Maryland, should I say, your program is running in. And then, Joy, please share a little bit about your program and how they can get in contact with you. Once again, this is Catherine Trotter, your host. My website is CatherineTrotter.com. I look forward to serving anyone that would need any ongoing services, such as getting your 501c3 or business coaching services. Mr. Dickens, I'm going to pass the show on to you first, and then Ms. Joy, you can come up and share your information.
Well, again, my name is Gillette Dickens, and my business is called Changing Lives Maryland. And, again, I originally started out working with veterans and helping veterans overcome some of the issues that they have to deal with when they reenter society. And I kind of branched out into the children's aspect of it. So now we kind of focus our efforts on book fairs for children where we give away free books. We have an African Griot book fair that we have once a year at Dridhill Park where we invite some of the African Griots to come out and read stories to the children. We've had Grandma Edna out. We've had Maria Broom come out and speak with the kids. And we've had some of the authors from up and down the East Coast come out and some of the black authors come out and show the kids that you can even be a book writer. And those are some of the things that we do in the neighborhood. We also have a program where we just go out and feed people. We try once a month where we just gather and we go out into different communities and we just set up the barbecue grill and feed people. Right now my website's under work. I had to tweak it somewhat, but it'll be back up shortly. But I can be reached at 410-940-7498. That's Gillette Dickens at 410-940-7498. And again, I'd like to let everybody know about our garden project where we're going to bring the kids back into the garden and teach them some agricultural skills. And that's a huge program that I'm really excited about. So I look forward to this coming spring.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being on our show, Ms. Ford.
Yes, I'm going to leave with this quote, and then I'm going to leave my information if that's okay. John Quincy Adams says, if your actions inspire others to dream more, learn more, do more, and become more, you are a leader. So my information for the Joyrific Band is www.joyrificband.com, and they can reach me at 410-687-7410. Thanks, Catherine.
Absolutely powerful. Well, thank you so much, Joy. And once again, I'm so glad that you are being a part of this show for 2017. As our co-host, I'm excited about what this year will unfold. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been our first episode in 2017. Again, tonight's topic was the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. We went over some of the very, to me, in my opinion, some of the top laws in that book, the law of the buy-in, the law of the influence, the law of the connection, the law of the lid. If you don't have that book, you can go online and you can download it. I know many individuals sometimes read books from their phone. You can do that. There are also documents online that will give you excerpts of the book if you don't have time to read the entire document. Once again, my website is CatherineTrotter.com. On February 4th, I am having a business boot camp, and it will be in White Marsh, Maryland, and it's from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. It is for interactive workshops. If you go to my website, you can get all of the details at CatherineTrotter. It has been a pleasure tonight, Joy, as well as Mr. Dickens. Thank you so much. And we will be back with the Leader in You. Stay connected to our social media pages. Stay connected to our website for more updates to come. And we will hear you again next time on Leader in You. And have a wonderful evening. And I'm going to see everybody at the top. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you. Good night.
All right.